church that has hidden talents that don't like to bring them out, especially like singing. Now, I've heard her sing before, and she doesn't sing very often, but she's going to have to, she's done been put wrote down in the book now. She's going to be doing it a little bit more often because God wants you to use your talents. And you never know how it might bless somebody else. Who in here has been touched by the Lord? Amen. Who in here has been touched by the Lord? Thank you for blessing us this evening. Amen. Johnny's crying. I knew he would. I'm crying up here too, brother. It's okay. I'm tenderhearted anyway. We've got some more talent that's getting ready to come up here and give you their testimony. Liza and Rowdy Dove, just the short time that I've known them, I've seen them as workers in our church. I've seen them serving in the youth department, but then also stepping up. And we need our lay people that's got lay talents to step up. And Rowdy and Liza both have stepped up, and they've started a new Sunday school class. And it's exciting that because it's one of our most unreached areas in the church. It's one of our most unreached group of people that seem to leave the church right after they've been flooded by it. They come out of youth and they move into the real world. They either go to college or they accept a career working, and we tend to lose those people. And I'm glad that we've got a young couple that's decided to step up and be that lay person that our church needed so badly. Just, you can give it up for Liza and Rowdy. Y'all come on up here.
Hi, I'm Liza. That one's Rowdy. So our story, our testimony is about something that's happened to us probably the past 9, 10 months, however old Eli is, our little baby. But before I start that, I just want to talk about like our Sunday school class and how the one before, the one that we're doing now, which is Overcomer, was Goliath Must Fall. And with Goliath Must Fall, we know David and Goliath. David conquered Goliath with just a stone. And in the story, we often think that we're David in the story, but that's not true. God's David in the story. God's the one that conquered the giant, and he just used David as a vessel to conquer that giant. And so in the Sunday school, we talked about our giants, and one of our giants, I don't know if I can speak for you too, but is a giant of comfort. And a lot of times comfort is just sitting down in the back there by candy, watching a cute little baby stuck on a bottle. But this is God conquering our giant of comfort just by being up here. So on with the testimony. So we had prayed for a baby for a long time, and we got a lot of no's throughout the months. And I had a doctor's appointment and kind of talked to her about it and trying to figure out, like, is there something wrong with me or what's going on? And I don't know if you guys have had the same thing happen to you. Maybe I'm talking to you, maybe I'm not. But you oftentimes blame yourself, like, what's wrong with me? So the doctor said, like, no, I mean, come back in 2 months, and if you haven't had a baby by then, like, then we can start thinking of some things that you need to do. And so I had bought one of those big boxes of, like, the ovulation and, like, 25 pregnancy tests in there. I went all in. And so I was down to my last pregnancy test. And so I went through 24 before, and so I got 24 no's. And so finally I got this last one, and, you know, you go in the bathroom, and I'll save you the gory details. And so got the two lines, and so I fell to my knees crying and thanking God because finally we got that yes. And so it reminded me of a story each time we had that answer of saying no, not yet, no, not yet. Is there's a story that I remember hearing is of this lady and her child. And her child was in the hospital, and he was very sick. And this lady had prayed to God, like, God, if you'll just save him, then I'll return back to you, and I'll come back to you, and I'll do whatever you want. Well, the next morning, the child began to be better, and, like, things were looking good. It didn't look like it was going to be death anymore. And she said, oh, thank you, God. You're such a good God. And, like, and God spoke to her and said, would I still be good if I said no? Would I still be good if I let your child die? And the answer is yes. And so each time you were said no, I still said, God, you're still a good father. You're still good, even through the no's. But anyway, we got our yes. And so we went through all the doctor's appointments and stuff and got the due date. And our due, I don't know if you guys know who I am, but like I had school, occupational therapy school, and I have like clinicals I have to go through. And so I was on my final stretch. And so my due date was the date of my last day of field work. So that's just God's timing. And a lot of people voice their opinions of saying like, oh, well, it's your first pregnancy. Maybe you should push it back. Maybe you should just wait till you have it and then you can, you know, continue with it. But I'm like, no, I'm just going to go through it and see what happens. And so it was my last day. Thank you. I made it through my hospital rotation and I was at home with Rowdy and I was meal prepping for just in case because I don't have to meal prep when he's here. And I felt my water break. And so, I mean, it was, we went to the hospital and yeah, your water did break, but like that was your last day of field work. And then you come home and like, oh, your water broke. So, I mean, that was God's timing too. And so 27 hours later in labor, we had baby Elijah and he's over there in the back. Ken, you want to raise him up like Simba? He's kind of heavy. There he is. But then I'll let Rowdy talk about the delivery part because I was busy.
So my favorite memory about it is when we got there and, yeah, your water broke and she was having contractions. She's like, oh, these aren't that bad. It's fine. Yeah. And then, like, you know, 9 hours later, she's screaming and rolling and everything else. And that happened on the next 20 hours or so. And we got to the end and she was pushing and doing all that fun stuff. And everything was going good. You could tell everyone's energy was. And then all of a sudden it changed. And they're like, oh, push your foot up against your chest and get in there and do this and that. And this little blonde girl is like this tall, pushes me out of the way and like sumo jumps on top of Eliza and like spits him out like a zit. And so he comes out and it would have been funny if it wasn't so scary at the time. It's funny now. He came out and he didn't look so good and he wasn't responding, wasn't making noise. He was gray. They whisked him away on this little table thing and they were pushing and proding and trying to get him to fight back and he wouldn't. So they ended up having to take him to the nursery. And that was like the longest 3 hours I've ever been a part of, was waiting because we couldn't see him, couldn't go back there. And eventually I got to go back there. A lot of it was me waiting because I was scared to go back there. Went back there expecting the worst, and when I went back there, he was laying on the table, and they were trying to get stuff on him, and they kept pulling it off. He kept grabbing and pulling and screaming. I was like, finally, he's fighting. But that's all I got.
Yeah. So we had I had a doctor's appointment, and she had talked about how, like, you don't understand how terrible that could have happened, or how lucky, she used the words lucky, I used the words blessed. How lucky you were that it was the way he was. I mean, I felt a snap, and she had thought that maybe he broke a collarbone or whatnot, and with him being unresponsive for that long, you always think that there's some attention difficulties or something going wrong, but, I mean, you can look at him now, and it's like there's nothing wrong with him, and we just thank God because it was our prayer of protection that really kept him alive and with us today. So, I also want to share like one other thing. I remember we had to stay in the hospital for a little while because we had to monitor him and make sure that he was okay and whatnot. And you moms probably know, like in the middle of the night when he's screaming and stuff and crying, like what do you do? But I remember thinking that, oh gosh, I wish he would stop crying. And then I stopped and remember how much you wanted him to cry, that first moment of breath. And so that snapped me right out of that, so I'm happy when he cries now because that means he's alive. So anyway, that's our testimony, and he's just a living miracle that we got to present to all of you guys. So thank you. I told you I'd cry.
Well, this is odd. I didn't realize it was going to be such a short testimony. But God is always in time, on time, all the time, isn't He? We've started studying Job on Wednesday night, and to realize that God gives and God can take away at any time without our understanding, without our knowledge. We don't really truly know why sometimes. And we question God, and somebody asked me the other day, well, can I get mad at God? And I said, you can get mad at Him all you want to get mad at Him. And I believe that you need to tell Him, God, I'm a little upset at you. But I also know that God's going to work His will through your life, and He is going to work things out to where you might come to a better understanding why He has done what He's done. We're thankful for the testimony of a struggle, of a life struggle. And we don't hardly hear testimonies of the day. We hear the testimony of, well, this is when I was a young boy, I walked an aisle and gave my life to Jesus, and somebody tells their life story. But what about a testimony of today? What's Jesus done for you today? We've got about 30-some minutes before church is over, and I know you don't want to hear me preach, but is there anybody that can just give a brief testimony? Just stand and give me a brief testimony of something Jesus has done today, maybe this past week, maybe this past month, not your whole life story testimony. Just give me a brief statement of what God has done for you today. Anyone? Yes. We'll do it this. We're going to do it this way right here because this might be the easiest way to do it. That way I can grab the mic from you if you talk too long.
There you go.
I'm just going to snatch it up.
Praise God. I moved to Pryor about 4 weeks ago, and I attend Sunday church at another church in the morning, but I wanted to come to church at night. And I have been burning up the phone lines trying to find a church that has Sunday night service. There ain't too many of them. I think there's two. And I said, okay, Lord, I want to go to church. So I called, I guess today, and somebody said service starts at 6. I says, well, good. I had called 30 churches today. I didn't know which one I called to get the 6 o'clock time. So I drove around Pryor for a little while, and I said, now I'm going to go back home and go through the listings. And I went on the Internet, and there you were at 6 o'clock. So here
Amen.
I am.
We are glad to have you. We're glad to have you. I love being at church on Sunday nights. This is when you get to experience some personal relationship with people that you don't normally get to on Sunday. A little bit more time to visit. Anybody else have a testimony? Bob's got his finger up in the air. Absolutely. We've got some people that has experienced COVID in some really tough ways, and they're sitting right over here. We may have Bob get, or Robert. Rob told me to quit calling you Bob. There's too many Bobs in the church already. So yeah, we can call him Zeke or Margaret's boy. We can do that. But anyway, Robert was just moments away from probably dying with some blood clots. And Bob just mentioned that over there. We're glad to see Zeke and Margaret back. They both had COVID, and we're glad to see both of you back. Brenda and Robert both had COVID, and we're glad to see them back. We're glad to see Bob Mazingo. Bob Mazingo was back. I hugged Bob Mazingo's neck this morning, and I hugged Robert's neck this morning because I was glad to see him because we'd been praying hard for him. All the struggles that they'd gone through this week, we're glad to have those back. We're glad to have everyone back that struggled with COVID. And, you know, that some of that bad news I heard a while ago is one of our friends passed away. I had another one, two this week, passed away from COVID. So it's a real thing. It's a real problem. But God's working some miracles out in some people's life, but He's calling some other people home too. So don't know why. It's that Job thing again. Don't understand it, but He's doing it. Maybe he's getting ready to call us all home pretty soon, and he's just taking some early to get it ready for us, huh? How about that? Anybody else? Anybody else got a short, brief, want to give some praise and shout out to Jesus for what they've done? This okay, Ann, I'm coming. You better. No, I'll take that mic out of your hand. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just want to give praise to God. My great niece, J.C. Broderick, or J.C. Barlow, and her husband just moved down to Tahlequah Bias, and they've been struggling big time. And they have a baby. That's that baby I've been watching, and I've been praying. And they rodeo. They went to drum right last night. They were up in the slack, so they pulled in kind of late. Got right there where Marty Brock was preaching. Walked up there, and my niece said, Wesley, who's just a tough little cookie, little cowboy, started crying and gave his heart to Jesus at the rodeo last night. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's testimony right there, isn't it? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. I'm going to start preaching if y'all don't want to start talking. And I don't even have a sermon, so it would probably be terrible.
I just want to tell you how blessed I am. For the last 3 years, my two oldest granddaughters, their sisters, they had babies just twinned almost. My other two grandbabies, girls, their sisters, they had their babies almost twins. And then my grandson, he had a baby. And these has all been like the last 3 years that I've been blessed with five great grandkids. So.
Well, amen. Amen. We've got a lot of little babies in the church, and it's pretty neat to see a church growing like that on that end of things. Not just new people coming, but people in the church having kids, and we've had several of them here lately, and that is a true blessing. Anyone else? There's got to be something you're thankful for, what the Lord's done this week for you.
A year ago in February the 25th and 26th, I don't remember anything what happened those 2 days. My sister came to me on the 26th and found me on my bed. I was almost dead. My lungs were almost collapsing. My oxygen level was down to 5%. By the time she got me to the emergency room. And I'd been praying to God to show me. And that's something else. I need to back up a little bit. I used to be a smoker. I loved my cigarettes. I thought I had to have my cigarettes. And then I asked God to show me how to quit smoking, to help me quit smoking. And I didn't wake up. And my sister took me to the emergency room. My oxygen level was down to 5%, very close to death. But God had a reason for me to live. And since that day, thank God, I have not smoked one cigarette. I praise God so many times for helping me, showing me how to quit smoking cigarettes.
Amen. Amen. We got a God that can do just about anything that you think is impossible. We have a God that can overcome it. It's not, we're waiting on mountains to move sometimes. And we don't know when they're going to move, but we try to move them ourselves without the realization that it's only God that can move the obstacle that's in front of you. Move whatever that's hindering you with your relationship with Him. Whatever happens to be happening in your life, you've got to wait on God to move those mountains. You can't do it yourself. Anyone else? I know you've got a lot to be thankful for here lately, don't you, Miss Trudy?
Well, I have a wonderful... I have a wonderful daughter that is with me and takes care of me, and I feel like sometimes I'm taking her life away from her, but she doesn't feel that way. But I'm so thankful that I have her. And God has blessed me with a lot of health problems, so just to bring me right back. I have to be there to teach Rob how to behave.
Amen. Amen.
Did you notice what she said? God has blessed her with a lot of health problems. In the good and in the bad, aren't we supposed to praise the Lord? Who else? Who else can bear witness tonight? Bear witness of what God's done for them. Yes.
My granddaughter lives in Connecticut, and she has a fiancé, and he had a spinal infection, and they had to cut out part of his spine. And he is paralyzed from the waist down. So she called me, and we prayed, and we talked. And I says, Kaylee, put your hand on his right leg. And she did, and I said, now, in the name of Jesus, you command that leg to move. You command it. And then you clean that off. You clean that. You tell everything that's not of God to get out of there. So she did. He is moving his right leg. And I told her, so now what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm going to go on his left leg. I said, there you go. God can do all things. You have to have the power and the faith of what God has given you to command this to get away from you. And that's the testimony I have, that she is learning about God. Amen. and it's working.
Good.
Amen. I don't know if I can.
I know it will be short, though.
Okay.
Time it. Okay. Now I just, you know, when I was sitting here and I was talking to Chris, and I said, you know, I said, isn't it wonderful when you see all those things on those screens, the opportunities that we have to come to a church, fellowship with each other, and that there's something on there for everybody. And so I think that's just a big blessing we have.
Amen.
It's like 20 seconds. That's short. Nancy teaches one of our Finding Hope, but it's a class here at the church, and several months ago when we started doing this, I'd asked her to come and teach the class, and she's like, me, I don't know. But I said, you pray about it, and I'm sure God's going to tell you that that's where you need to be. But I know that we've got people in our church that need to be in our class. We have a class that is for the parent, spouses, daughter, the son of an addict. Whatever your person's going through, there's help inside of those doors back there. We meet back here in that 113A back there, but there's help for you. You can't give anybody help until you've gotten help yourself. You can't take care of somebody unless you're taking care of yourself first. If you've got a situation in your life that needs that kind of attention, please come. Please come to the class. It's more than you'll ever expect it to be. I promise you that. You'll learn a lot from it. And I don't know if you've got an addict in your life, whether it's a drug addict, an alcoholic, whatever it happens to be. If you've got a situation that you're not sure that you're able to help, this class will help you help that situation. So be praying about that, because I know there's a lot of people in here that are experiencing problems, and you've not told anybody about it, but you've got those situations in your life. Nancy will be the first one to tell you. She had no idea what was going on. And if you were here several months ago and heard her testimony, you'll know she had no idea that her son was a drug addict. And then she's teaching a class now because of that. The experience she went through, whatever God's ran you through, that experience he's put you in, whatever situation that he's got you traveling through, it may be a bad situation. He's going to turn it. He's going to use that situation for something far beyond what you will ever imagine that he can do with it. Am I not right, Jake? He knows. He was the one in the situation. But many things have come out of the situation that he was in. So don't think you're alone out there. There's people just like you right here in this church that are struggling. Yeah. Yeah. A friend. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to help one another carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6 tells us that we're supposed to do that. You read those first 1 through 6, well, it's not that they're not supposed to carry their own burden, but we're supposed to walk right up beside them and carry that burden with them. Trenton knows all about that burden. He had that burden above his head, that one. And we've done that sermon down at the Tahlequah campus too. When you see somebody struggling, step up beside them and help them with that burden. James, yes. He can. Absolutely. Amen. Matter of fact, what is it? 8 more days and you'll be celebrating your first birthday as a Christian. That's right. Several. Yeah. Yeah. That's the birthdays we should be celebrating. Amen. We should be celebrating those birthdays. Maybe we'll get together and we'll celebrate, James. How about that? All right. Let's do it then. We got a couple back here. I'm going to. Ladies first. You want to keep it short, too.
Of course. Lady Joyce first.
I just want to say that I've been very blessed by this church and everyone here. And a little bit of backstory, I guess, is my mom passed away 4 years ago. And I knew I was heavy in church, and I knew I needed to be in church. After she passed, I fought it a lot. I just knew I needed to be there, and the conviction, I was really mad at God. I didn't want to admit it, and I only went to church long enough to, you know, oh, I still attend, you know, like once a month. That way my grandma didn't worry about me or all of that. So in about probably February, I reached out to Trenton and Marissa, kind of asked about services, things like that, really prayed about it, and me and Isaac visited, and since then, God has worked amazing things in my life and my family's life, and it's been great. Since then, Isaac, my husband, got accepted and started the Oklahoma Highway Patrol Academy, and it's been the longest 6 weeks and 3 days of my life, but if without this church family and without the, you know, growth in my spiritual walk, I don't know where I'd be at during this time. So thank you. And anyway.
You got a praise. You got a praise report. Is it a praise report?
It's going to come out that way.
Be short. Come on.
It will be about 1 minute time. On Tuesdays and Thursday, I go to two different churches. One is Celebrate Recovery. This will tear me up a lot. I deal with people who are struggling with drugs and alcohol so much. And I help with different things. In prior church, it's called Redemption House of Prayer. They're going to have a movie night in Pryor this weekend called Toy Stories, and it's for anybody some drugs and alcohol. Losing my whole family 10 years ago is still working on me hard. But coming to the church on Wednesday night, getting the bus ready for candy, helps me deal with trouble, and being with the kids pulls me out of it so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate being with the kids so much. And what you're saying about them, I play music at nighttime on my computer all the time to help me relieve the tension I have. To where I want to get back on the organ again, but I had to go how I feel. Because it's a struggle to get up in the morning. The medicine I'm taking, I'm so stressed out by tension. I don't hide it. I mean, I try to hide it, but sometimes I can't hide it. And I give all my promise to God for Him to handle it for me.
There you go.
Amen. God is my Savior, always.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm going to probably end it right there. We've got a lot of, I'm going to have Pigeon come up and play, and I'm just going to open up the altars for just a time of prayer. I know that we've got a lot of people that are still sick in our church, and we still need to be praying, but if it's not the Christians coming to the altars and praying, who's it going to be? If it's not you who are faithful to be here on a Sunday night, who's it going to be? If you can't look at yourself and say that you need to be in an altar praying for everything that's going on around us, because nobody else is going to get up here and pray for you. This altar doesn't make it special. It doesn't make it special, but this is God's house. This is probably the closest during the week that we get with God, unless you've got a really good quiet time in the morning where you're spending time with the Lord. But sometimes this is the only time that we are able to open ourselves up to God and to the Lord. Especially in a public place. And it's not a public scene that we're trying to do here. But we're gathered together in one accord. And it says, what does Scripture say? We're two or more gathered in my name. But we need to be praying together in God's name for the things that are going on in this world. We've got people in Afghanistan that need to come home. We've got Christians over there that are serving that I know that I've read about here lately that are struggling. One man lost his life just last week. They cut his arms off and they drug him behind a truck in the streets. You didn't hear about that on the news. But he was a Christian man, and he lost his life because of Christ. What's it going to hurt us tonight to get on a bended knee and cry out for those who are being persecuted tonight, those who are sick tonight, those who are struggling with drugs and alcohol tonight? What's it going to cost us to get on a bended knee in front of the Lord Savior? In a group of people who are in one accord crying out to Him tonight. These altars are going to be open. These front benches will be open. You can pray right there where you're at. But let's just spend about 3 or 4 minutes in prayer tonight, and then I'll close this out. But if you feel the need to come up here and pray at these altars, just do so.